Hey everyone, thanks for listening to my podcasts here on the Hullerstubber feed. Do spread the word to other people if you think they might enjoy them. Do listen to some more if you think you might enjoy them, but do enjoy this one. I am shortly going to be on tour with my new stand-up show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Head to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all those dates. Some of them are sold out, some of them have hardly sold anything. It would really help me if you bought tickets to the ones that aren't sold out. Either way, as soon as you can. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's about cancer and testicles. One of them's not funny, but one of them's really funny, and it kind of cancels out the unfunniness. I'd say just on average, slightly more funny. So I hope you'll come along. If not, keep enjoying the podcast. We'll be back in September at the Leicester Square Theatre with more live podcasts. Maybe a few Edinburgh ones before then. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this stupid podcast you've chosen to listen to.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, my fan friends. Welcome to another Rahalastapar this week with Lou Conran. It's the last Rahalastapar to go out in 2020. It's been a fantastic year. I think we can all agree. I've had a good time. That's all that matters, right? We'll see if 2021 gets any better. I will be continuing self-playing snooker and Twitch of fun on twitch.tv/RK Herring. Please do tune in. It's a lot of fun seeing me and working out whether the mental decline is genuine or artifice. I'm not sure. Also, currently, if you're listening as this goes out, my Emergency Questions ebook, Emergency Questions 1001 Conversation Savers for Every Occasion, there's actually another 25 in there, I think, that as a bonus, is only 99p on Kindle, possibly other ebooks as well, I'm not sure, but that's until about the 6th or 7th of January. So if you want to get that book for a ridiculous 99p, on your device, you can get the Kindle app. You don't even have to have a Kindle. And then you can ask people 1,001 questions and get your conversations going in 2021, because we've all forgotten how to talk to each other. Please do buy it. I mean, I won't see any money from it, but it'd be nice to get into the charts. And yes, please, if you're with Amazon Prime, do subscribe to my Twitch Amazon Gaming channel. You can do that every month and give me £3.50 for no cost to yourself. There is an ad explaining how to do that at the start of the page, RK Herring on twitch.tv/RK Herring. So let's, for the last time, say fuck you 2020, suck my big motherfucking dick, and I wish you a happy 2021 and hope we all survive until the vaccine arrives. Hopefully some lives for Hellastippers in 2021. Looking forward to seeing you all again. Thanks for the support through this crazy, crazy year. It's Rahalastapar with Lou Conran. Hello, please welcome a man who's babysitting his own kids. You're not allowed to call it that. I'm looking after them. If anything goes wrong, we'll be in trouble. It's Richard Herring. Hello, welcome to Richard Herring's Lorry Storage Twatted Podcast. I'm here at the lorry park that's failed to be built because it's too rainy. That is England summed up right there. This is where all the lorries in Brexit are going to park. I've driven out here especially to do the podcast from here. You can see it's just behind me. I'm sitting on a hill. There's a church there. Oh, you can't see because of that thing in the way. There we go. Oh, you can't see because I put the wrong button. Hold on. There we go. There, that's better. And there's a church just behind me. Look at that. Could there be a better example of what Britain is becoming? This is the last podcast before Brexit in broadcast terms for the podcast. So we're doing a couple more in 2020, but this one will go out on the 30th of December. So Brexit is on the way, my fine friends. But I was hanging around with my family over Christmas, and those, the younger ones who survived, they call it Rahalastapa. So, and sadly, many, many of them are dead as a result of having Christmas dinner together. Even though we're recording it before Christmas. Oh, it's like good night, sweetheart here. So look, what's been going on this week? I played this game with my wife. My wife does a podcast called Drunk Women Solving Crime. She's actually doing it tonight, which is why I'm home alone. She was given this game, which is sort of Drunk Women Solving Crime on in card form. And I played with one of the drunk women, my wife, they were either much too easy or too weird. So you get a clue and then you have to try and work out, you ask yes or no questions to find out what the crime is. So here's one I just found. Greeted with lead, picture of machine gun, bang. On a very special day, six men died abruptly. It was annoying to my wife because I just got them all immediately. I was just going, that's the St. Valentine's Day massacre it was. Useless evidence because of his large hands. A man accused of a double murder walked free. O.J. Simpson, I said, correct. And very good. These are meant to be true, like 50 twisted tales from real crime cases. This is the first one that came out. One man delivered vegetables. The other delivered meat. A short time later, one of them was dead. This was my wife had to get this one. I wouldn't have got this one. That is the story of Cain and Abel, which I would argue is not a true life mystery, true life murder mystery. I would say that's a fictional one. It also was difficult when she was saying, did it happen in the UK? No. Did it happen in Europe? No. Did it happen in Africa? No. I don't know where it happened because it was just outside Eden. But the one that that most excited me, which is a story you might remember, was a gourmet for the mentally insane. Despite the fragrant garlic and thyme, the main course just wasn't very good. This is that story from Germany about the cannibal and the victim who was happy to be eaten. They met online, and then they met up so the cannibal could eat the person who wanted to be cannibalized. The internet's wonderful, isn't it? How would they have met in the past? They wouldn't have been able to meet up. They cut off the man's penis, the meal's penis, fried it up in some herbs and garlic, and tried to eat it together as a sort of starter to the event. But the penis turned out to be inedible. Then the cannibal killed the guy and ate bits of him and kept the rest of him in the freezer. Got into a bit of trouble down the line. But I couldn't help thinking that's a disappointing last few hours for the guy who died, isn't it? He'd been looking forward to being eaten, but before that happened, enjoying a last meal of his own cock with a new friend. And then embarrassingly, his penis turned out to be inedible. So he's sitting there, presumably in some discomfort, having lost his penis. Maybe regretting his choices, thinking this isn't as good as I thought it was going to be. Maybe thinking, God, I hope this cannibal won't judge me for having an inedible penis. It was already embarrassingly a small portion, but I got a bit nervous when it was about to cut it off. None of this is going how I hoped. Did he suggest they maybe eat a different part of him together, or was he too upset to suggest that and just wanted to get it over with? The only thing that could have happened that would have made it worse if the police had turned up at the last minute and saved him so he didn't even get eaten. But at least he got eaten. That's what he wanted. What else have I got for you? Oh, actually, look, I had a funny picture to go with that. Do you want to have a look at the funny picture for that? Here it is. It's a street fried penis. I'll quickly tell you about my daughter who came in last night. And we've been playing this game together. It's like a Candy Crush game. I've been kind of obsessive about it. And I told her, we play it together sometimes. And I told her I've started paying money sometimes to finish levels because I get bored with them. And then she came. And even though we played a lot, she came and said, Daddy, I wasn't playing the game even. She said, Daddy, you're playing that game too much. You've started spending money on it. I think you need to delete that game. I was admonished by my own daughter for playing video games. And she was sad. I said to my wife, did you put her up to this? She didn't. She just came in off her own back and you need to delete this. This is terrible. And she was right. It is. Look, I'm on level 1,215. I am too obsessed with it. That is too much. If you're watching this live, the final Taskmaster is on Thursday. I'm in the lead at the moment. Will I fuck it up and come second? Or maybe not even second? Or will I cruise to victory? All I'll say is after the show was over, Greg Davis gave me a little head. That's all I'm going to say. That's your clue. We'll find out what happened on Thursday. You'll know if you're listening to the podcast. You'll also maybe know what happened in the chase, which is I'm on the chase. Did I put a picture of everyone up? I don't think I did. there's a picture. Oh, there's a picture of me on Taskmaster. Yes, the chase has been moved to Christmas Day at 5 p.m. on ITV. I'm back in the big time. This is it. I'm mainstream. It's going good. So do tune into that or, you know, watch it on ITV. Catch up. Some people know what's happened. Some people listen to this know what's happened and other people don't. It's how confusing and delightful. Anyway, have a lovely Christmas if you're watching live. Have a lovely, what's it called? It's the sort of taint, isn't it, of the year between Christmas and New Year that you're enjoying if you're having this live, if it's come out on today. I should say I am drinking beer, so I'm going to be quickly unable to think of words. I can't think of the word for being unable to think of words. That's how bad it's got. Let's introduce my guest. She is probably best known. I'm very excited about this introduction. This is one of the most exciting introductions I've ever given. She's best known for being one of the news team on the show Press Gang, one of my favourite TV shows of all time. I hope she was. Will you please welcome the amazing Lou Conran, ladies and gentlemen. There she is. She's in an
Hello.
Ibis hotel.
I am. It's all glamour, isn't it?
It's lovely.
I've matched my jumper to the curtain so that I could just blend in and I've really thrown myself into the showbiz lifestyle.
And your hair a little bit, the hair, you know,
you
could just disappear into the background.
I literally could look. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Oh, you watched Press Gang.
I loved Press Gang.
Oh, my God.
I mean, ridiculous man. Yeah. I became obsessed with Julia Sawala for much of my life. And then dated Julia Sawala for 2 years at the end of that obsession.
Did you?
Yeah.
How did you bang her?
Every day.
What I meant was, how did you get to meet her?
I cast her in a play I was in. It's quite clever.
Oh, really?
I went a reading of a play and then she made the moves on me. Careful what you wish for. That's all I'd say. Yeah, how was Press Gang? What was your role in Press Gang? What are your memories of Press Gang? Let's talk about that for an hour.
Okay. Well, my role in Press Gang was to be the butt of quite a few people's jokes, right, unbeknownst to me, because it was my favourite programme as a teenager. And then I auditioned to be part of the news team.
Yeah.
And then during my audition, they said, why do you like Press Gang? And I said, I really fancy Dexter Fletcher. And then I later found out that all of the cast watched all of the audition tapes, and then I was recruited as to be a member of the team. And every day, I was very naive at the time, believe it or not. And then every day, I'd collect my my wage slip or my contract sheet or whatever to get it signed off, because that's how it happened back in the day.
Right.
They'd change my surname from Conran to Fletcher, Louise Fletcher. And I was like, oh, no, you've got my name wrong. And then it wasn't until about a year after that I thought, oh, no, they're all taking the mickey out of me. And then Dexter, or Dex, one day he just came over and said, so when are we going out?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
I went bright red.
So have we both banged the leads from Press Gang? Is that what we're saying?
No, I think your mission was successful.
Okay.
Mine, I was just a sweaty teenager that didn't know whether she was coming or going. Yeah.
Very exciting. Yeah. And that's your first job, more or less. It must be your first job. You were into sort of acting from an early age, and that you got into a show you loved.
Oh my God. And the best thing about that, let me bore you with this.
No, I'm not bored. I want to know all the background detail.
Okay. Well, so we filmed it sometimes at Shepperton, and then where else did we film it? Can't remember. But I think it was at Shepperton that this happened. There was one day we went in to have breakfast in the canteen or whatever, and we used to all sit together. And then, oh my God, I was obsessed with Lovejoy at the time as well. So I had Press Gang and Lovejoy. And Lovejoy came and sat at our table, and I can't tell you, I was a creamy teenager. So not only did I have Dexter Fletcher on one side, but I had Lovejoy on the other. And he had cornflakes with the top of the milk on them and banana. You're welcome. And I was so overly excited that I left the breakfast table to go and ring my mum to tell her I was having breakfast with Lovejoy. And then when I got back to the table, he had gone. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe we've just had breakfast with Lovejoy. And then somebody, don't know who, turned around and said, Lovejoy? That wasn't Lovejoy. That was Mel Gibson. So I'd left the table because I got excited it was Lovejoy and I wanted to tell my mum, but it was Mel Gibson.
Wow.
I mean
they're both sort of short, sort of hairy men.
Mullety,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was filming Hamlet at the time. Okay. So.
And were you calling him Lovejoy as you were at the...
No, I was just...
Pass me the cornflakes, Lovejoy.
No, I was just bright red and sweating.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good celebrity story.
Yeah.
That's got so many subs in it, some of them who weren't even there.
Yeah.
But then Lovejoy's gone on to be a bigger star than Mel Gibson. Well, at least hasn't had a mental breakdown and become racist, as far as I know.
No, exactly. So, you know, maybe it should have been Lovejoy. Maybe. Maybe in a parallel life, like in Sliding Doors, somewhere, my sweaty teenage self is sitting with actual Lovejoy somewhere. Yeah.
I was obsessed with Tinker, and I went out with him about 10 years later for a couple of
years. Did you? And how did you bag him?
I bagged him every week. very interesting. Have you? Did you hear the story about the man eating the other man's penis on a date and it being inedible and that being quite embarrassing? What's the worst internet date you've ever had, Lou? I imagine you've, from watching your stand-up today, I imagine you've had a few dates with internet.
I was going to say though that when you said about that the penis was really disappointing to eat, of course it is. All penises are really disappointing to eat. You're going to put that thing in your mouth that's been in whatever hole, wherever.
Well, it's made of spongy tissue, isn't it? The guy, I read about it on Wikipedia. I went afterwards. I thought there's a short film in this. But then someone's already done films about it, obviously. But the guy wanted the guy to bite his penis off. That's how he wanted to remove it, but he wasn't able to do it.
Oh, no.
He wasn't able to do it.
You've got. Yeah. We've all watched Up the Jungle, or what's it called? I'm a Celebrity.
Yes.
And trying to chomp your way through a kangaroo's cock is.
Yeah.
That should give you a clue.
I mean, they don't make them bite them off the kangaroo, though, do they? They kind of detach them first.
You don't know. You don't know how they get there. You just don't know.
I think partly the guy messed up the cooking process as well, so they might have been able to eat it. But
it's like liver, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a very limited time frame with liver because you can go from to.
I imagine a penis is more like calamari. I think if you do it right, I would have done it in deep fried in sweet chili sort of flakes something. Yeah, because I like calamari, but I imagine that's what a penis would be like to actually consume.
I'm going to say it's more like kidneys.
Okay.
Yeah, like that kind of, you know, when you eat it and it squeaks.
Yeah.
That kind of.
I haven't eaten a kidney for a long time. That was, you know, that slightly ages both you and I. I think.
Yes,
I think
it does.
In our youth.
Yeah,
steak and kidney pie, liver and kidney.
Yeah.
We ate a lot of offal as children, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't think today's kids do.
No.
I don't think my kids will ever eat a kidney.
Which actually I guess is the same, isn't it?
Even well, yeah, it's all ground up.
Yeah.
It's all ground up.
It's all ourselves and bollocks, isn't it?
We've all done it. We've all eaten it.
We've all done it, yes. We've all bloody done it.
But you've had some dating. You've had some dating disasters. Well, certainly if your stand-up is to be believed.
Yeah.
But have you ever done that blind date internet dating, which was sort of wasn't really around when I was dating, really.
I didn't do the blind date internet dating. No. I went on first date.
Oh yes, you did.
Yeah. And that was in a hotel in France.
Okay.
And they sort of like, they grill you, like, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And then basically they more or less tell you what you're getting. So I knew I was going to get a really tall kind of rugby player-ish type bloke. But what I realised subsequently now is that what I would have preferred was somebody with personality instead of just girth and size.
Yeah.
And I went all the way to France and then sat at the bar, got on really well with Merlin, the barman. And then this beast of a man walked up the stairs and he hadn't even got in the door. And I went, no.
Oh, no.
No. And then I had to sit and have dinner with this man who basically told me that the reason to have kids was so that they can look after you in your old age. And that was the only reason.
It's not worth it. It's not worth the trade-off.
No,
I would have been there to tell him. It's not worth
it. Yeah, no. Well, I realise that. Yeah, if you're getting told off by your own children for playing video games. and then he sort of like, not that, you know, I said, oh, how do you like France? And he said, oh, I've never been before. So, okay, fine. And then he said, I had to get a passport for this. I was like, oh, okay. And his mum still did his washing and everything, and then blah, blah, blah. So basically, my dating wasn't that successful.
No.
And then during that date, they said, that's gone horrifically. We've rung the UK and we're getting somebody else sent over.
Oh, my God.
So then I stayed the next day and then got food poisoning from the meal I'd had with the beast. And shat my way around that hotel because I wasn't actually supposed to stay as long as I did.
Right.
So they kept moving me to different rooms while new people were coming and going.
I mean, they kind of expected everyone just to cop off with the first person that they saw. Though.
No.
I did see it. I remember seeing a little bit of this. I remember it being feeling. All I remember is feeling quite sorry for you that it wasn't going your way, and you seemed lovely and. I do remember that. I don't remember much more, but I remember thinking that this seems she seems like a very nice person. I didn't know you very well then.
No. And, well, then you were wrong. Because I'm a cockend. No, do you know what? I was exhausted because I was aware there was cameras everywhere. There were cameras in the rooms, in the bedrooms, everywhere. So I was exhausted from having to be nice. For about 4 or 5 days. And I was like really aware that, oh God, whatever I did. Oh, do I want to stay a bit longer? Yes, I do. So I'd better be really nice about everything. Oh God.
What was the impetus to doing that show though? Because this was just, you know, you were on as a civilian, right? This wasn't as a comedian. This was.
No, I'd applied years ago.
Right.
And then they rang me, like I'd had a really awful year.
Sure.
And they rang me a couple of months after my anus horribilis. Horribilis? my horrible anus. They rang me a few months after my horrible anus. And then, and I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll do it. Am I allowed to swear? Sorry.
Yes, you are, absolutely.
Oh, great. Oh, thank fuck for that. So then...
Try not to be racist. That's all I'd ask. Just try to keep the racist swear words to a minimum.
Oh, but I've got my minstrel outfit over there. Oh, shit. So it was just sort of at the right time, really. And it was just like the prospect of having a few days in France. So I was like, oh, yeah, all right, then I'll go. So I didn't have any intention and sort of actually finding anyone. I just thought it would be a right laugh.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go into it.
Yeah,
the fun thing.
But the people there were so serious about it. Like, oh my God, they were like, if I don't find somebody, I'm going to be really... And I thought, it's a fucking programme. You're on holiday. Look, they're giving you the money. You meet Fred. He's nice. Have a free gin. Fucking hell, get on with it.
Oh, well, it's not the best way to find a life. I wouldn't imagine there are many long-term successes from first dates. Maybe there are.
Yeah.
Few shags, I reckon, have come out of it.
Yeah, there were. I could. They were in the room next to me. I could hear the bastards banging away. I was like, you know, it was taking ages, and you think, fucking hell, am I going to have to go in and finish that off? Lovely hotel, though, very romantic.
Good. It was me and Tinker next door. That's what was going on there. So,
chomping on your cock.
Could be worse, couldn't it? See, it could be. However bad your date's gone, it wasn't as bad as that date. Well, he sort of got what he wanted, I suppose.
Yeah.
Right, look, part of the reason I'd been meaning to get you on for a long time, but I was discussing ghosts on Twitter and Emma Kennedy brought your name up as in regards to ghosts. So I'll ask you an emergency question that I ask a lot of people, and I think I'm going to get a yes out of this one. Have you ever seen a ghost?
Yes.
Conran? Oh, my goodness, you've frozen.
Oh,
are you still
have
there?
I frozen? It's
wow,
the ghost.
Wow, that's terrifying.
It's the ghost.
We've lost her.
Can you hear me?
She's turned into a ghost.
Oh, no.
I knew this was going to... I said it never goes wrong and it's fucking gone wrong. I said to him before, it never goes wrong. That is spooky, though, isn't it? Is Chris Evans there? Oh, look, it's just me now. I've turned into a ghost. What? Chris Evans is on the case again. I think Chris Evans... deliberately sabotages these things. It's like Munchausen syndrome, so that he can then step in and save the day. Look what's happened to me. Very exciting, isn't it? Let's see what transpires. I'll try some more of these out on you at home. See if you can get them. Let's see if we can get them. A man adorned himself with borrowed plumage and spent the rest of his life in the loony bin. Extreme makeover. There's the picture. Do you know what crime this is? No, they're not all guessable. Oh, I could have got this one, actually. Some of them are a bit sick. That's Ed Gein, the serial killer. Mysterious monster. I've got this one straight away. Although the murderer told the police his name, he was never caught. Come on, that's too easy, isn't it? They're meant to be going so that, you know, you can get a good question, yes and no questions going. But, oh, my goodness.
I'm here. Oh, I'm here.
You're here, but I'm just a funny face of you pulling a funny face. That was good. That was a very spooky moment for that to happen. Yeah. And, you know, I said to you beforehand, it never goes wrong. And for it to go, this is this house. So this is why I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Have you, this house is haunted and the ghosts don't like me. And they did that on purpose because they knew that would be fucking excellent.
Yeah.
What are the chances? Literally, I've never said to one, it's never gone wrong before. And I knew the minute I said that, I knew it's going to go wrong. Have you ever seen a ghost, Lou?
Yeah.
You should have frozen again then. That would have been good if you just...
Yeah. If I'd have started levitating, that would have been amazing.
You have seen ghosts?
Well, I had a man get into bed with me once.
Okay.
I mean, back in the day, it wasn't really that unusual, Richard. But I sort of like was a sort of awake, but not really awake. And I rolled over and this man pulled the duvet up and he went, shh. It was a bit creepy.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah. And then sort of like, it was like, what the fuck was that? And then I looked again and he wasn't there. He was gone.
Wow. Well, that's what I, but you see, it happens when people are sleeping a lot, right? That's what this, and this happened to me.
No.
This is where this came from. The other day I was asleep and then I thought my son was shouting and my wife went, no. And I thought, and then I looked across and I saw my son walk into the room and then he sort of stood in the, stood facing not quite the corner, but not looking at me. And I said, Ernie. It was completely 100% looked real. And then I reached across to him and he wasn't there. But and then I had to go and check he was still alive and hadn't just passed over to the other side. Okay. He's fine. But it was like 100% real. I was obviously asleep, Lou, I would say.
Nah, you see, you say that. I have had things happen during, like, while I've been fully awake.
Right.
I lived in a flat once where plates would go across the kitchen.
Yeah, okay,
I lived on my own. Yeah. I lived on my own, so it wasn't the neighbours breaking in and chucking my crockery. Although was it?
We just always don't a rational explanation.
Yeah, you have to think logically about these things.
Could be a kind of magnet. There could be a bit of metal in the middle of each plate, and that could have been a magnet turned on and off.
Yeah, or a mouse on my draining board.
It could have been that.
Yeah.
But we've also in this house have experienced, well, we had a very weird, turbulent time for the first 6 or 7 months where everything was going wrong, but it was down to bad builders. I think our boiler kept breaking down. We nearly got carbon monoxide poisoned. Me and my wife together heard a baby crying and it wasn't our baby. And then I tweeted about that when Emma brought you into the conversation, and then someone who lived in my village tweeted me and said, oh, the people who used to live next door to you, when they had a child, they experienced that as well. So it hasn't happened since we haven't had a baby, but it was never our baby. You know, we recognised our own baby and he was always asleep. When you go in, he would always be asleep. But both of us heard the crying. So Emma told me you should come to my house. And so I guess you've got some experience of ghost hunting.
Oh, I've got my tarot cards here, my Richard. Goodness. Yeah, me and my mum, there's a college. Now then, you'll probably think I'm bonkers now.
I do think you're bonkers.
I'll just
say that now.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
But I'm open-minded.
Well, you're open-minded that I'm bonkers. That's fine. There's a college in Stansted, Mount Fitchett. And it's a college for people to go and learn how to be weirdos. And it's like Hogwarts, but for adults.
Okay.
And it runs all year round, every year. And you can just go and meet people that are bonkers, or people that have had genuine sort of experiences of these sort of things. And yeah. It's fascinating. I've sat in a seance. Yeah. I've sat in a seance. I've heard Judy Garland sing at me. I mean, you know, I mean, you're laughing, Richard, looking at me.
Why
thinking,
would she come down to your seance, Judy Garland? She'd have better things to do in heaven than come and sing for you. And
because why wouldn't she want to be near Stansted Airport? Why wouldn't she want to be there? Because, you know, I'm sure it's got some nice bits around Stansted.
Okay.
You just, you know, you just don't know, do you?
So if I show you my attic, will you be able to see if they're
going? Oh, here we go. This is how he gets the fucking penis chomped on. I'll show you my attic.
And you eat this calamari I've prepared for you. Don't worry about me wincing in pain, having blood all over my crotch.
I'll only eat it if there's chilli on it.
I'll just get rid of this lorry part for a sec. Hold on.
Oh, the mystery's gone.
There's my attic. Can you see anything? It's a bit dark, hard to see, isn't it? Shall I turn the light on?
Yeah. Oh, nice bottom. There we go. Oh, we didn't hear that because he's gone. Thank God for that. There must be... Oh, the light's just flashed on and off. Ooh.
There you go. Can you see any ghosts?
Yeah.
Those are light bulbs. They look like they're orbs, but they're just light bulbs. Just
yeah, they do look like orbs.
That's a snooker board there, so that's not a ghost.
Oh, well, somebody's definitely died on that. And what I'd suggest is those beams are ripe for hanging.
Right, they are.
Yeah. So, and you've probably got an old lady in there, at least an old lady, probably in Victorian clothing or something. and do you often smell weird smells in your house?
Well, only the ones that I've produced myself.
Okay. Is that what
Maybe we've had smells. It's more sounds and... Yeah, it did feel like when we first moved in here, it felt like the house didn't really like us to begin with.
Yeah.
But I think they've accepted us now. My son, but who's three, he's obsessed with. There's a door that's been blocked up that used to run between his room and our room. So it's because it's an old house.
Mm.
They used to have doors that ran between each room, so you could go between each room. And he's obsessed with this door. And bad people coming in and out of it and stuff like that, and ghosts come. But he's obsessed with ghosts. So he says he sees ghosts.
Yeah. That's a prime age.
Yeah.
Prime age. Do you get little cold patches in your house?
It's quite cold anyway in this house, so it's quite hard
you
to...
You really
talk.
Want to poo-poo this.
I don't, but I'm being honest with you. I'm actually very open-minded. I don't think there are cold patches. You know, it's weird that other people, and as I was telling you beforehand, it used to be a hospital for the village. But that's more next door. So it was next door who said next door's the people who lived there before the people who live there now apparently said they used to hear a crying baby as well.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a great ghost to have, is it?
No, but have you bashed down the door? In between the
no, it goes because it goes into our wardrobe now. So there's no, we wouldn't need to. But
maybe it's Narnia. Oh my god! Yeah, what are you doing? Mr. Tumnus is probably there.
Maybe we'll have a look. We'll take it down at some point. What do you think? There might be a skeleton behind the door.
Yeah, there might be all sorts of shrapnel and like gifts left.
There's definitely stuff. We took a door down and there wasn't stuff in it, but there was, you know, there were lots. We put it back up again, but there were lots of really oldie worldy nails. And so it was from 1702 originally.
Oh, fascinating.
So there's a lot of oldie worldy stuff in there.
I'm definitely coming to get pissed with your wife.
You can come round anytime.
And sniff out your ghost.
You can have a look.
I did a comedian's... ghost hunt in a house in Pontefract.
Okay.
30 Privet Drive. They made a film about it.
Yeah.
Are you aware of this?
I saw it through Christina Martin, who's also a good friend of my wife. She's done these things a lot.
Yes, I went with her.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely fuck all happened. but it was fascinating. And I had... I'm doing my own little podcast, Richard.
Yes.
You're welcome to join. And a couple of weeks ago, we had Yvette Fielding from Most Haunted as a guest on there. And she's been to 30 Privet Drive as well. And she had a lot more happen while she was on there. But, you know, we didn't have knives coming out of our sofa. We just had Chinese takeaway and a few cans of beer.
Okay. So if there are ghosts in my house, are you able to make them go away, or will they?
Do you want them to go away?
Well, they're all right at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like, if the baby's unhappy, I'd like the baby to, you know, be find its mum or something, but...
Yeah. I mean, I can come round and sort that out
okay.
for you.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. What you could do is get your wife to just walk around with a tit out.
Okay.
And, like, with the offer of breastfeeding.
Yeah.
That's what you could do.
I would suggest that.
Yeah, see how that goes, eh?
I'll say Luke Conrad told me that that would work. She's just texted me, actually. She's already done one of her shows. She's about to do a next show.
Brilliant.
Drunk and Solving Crime. If you're not enjoying this, I think it's live online. You can go live.
How rude.
It's not as good as me doing... I was doing these cards when you weren't here. It was Jack the Ripper, that one, if you didn't get
was
that
it?
One.
Just say Jack All right, the Ripper. I'm going to do your cards now.
Okay.
Hang on. I had
my tarot cards read for Taskmaster as a thing that is out of character. Oh, my God. Is that just...
That's literally just come up, and I did not put that there, Richard. You saw me shuffling them. It's the end of the world as we know it. Sorry about that. R.I.P.
Okay. I've had a good time. I've had a good night.
Yeah, you have. Who are you leaving your house to? Because I'd really love to live in a house like that. Okay.
Unless me and my wife go together, I think probably she'll get it.
Oh.
I mean, you know,
okay.
That's why she's married me, isn't it? That's why she's married
me. Oh, of course, clearly.
Get the house.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Peroni beer.
Lovely.
So I've got back onto drinking. I've stopped drinking a few times. I didn't drink in November, and then I've started drinking. The problem is, if I drink, I just drink every day, but only a little bit. But then I stopped drinking.
I've been pissed every day of lockdown.
Have you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we did. I stopped all last year. I didn't drink all last year. I've given up eating chocolate, which I've done pretty well for 2 years. Done, I had occasional mini bits of chocolate, but I gave up 13 months, and then lockdown, I pretty much drank all through lockdown.
May I ask why you gave up the chocolate?
Because I just eat so much of it that I can't stop eating it. And so it's more like Cadbury. I can still eat things. I have a bit of dark chocolate the other day. That's fine. If it's, you know, if it's sprinkled in something, I'll eat that. I've had a very occasional bits and pieces. But if I go back to Cadbury's, I think I will just... And it's around the house all the time because the kids obviously have it all the time. So I just would eat a whole pack of giant chocolate buttons that for the kids.
It's like crack, though, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's not enjoyable either. So I'm glad I've stopped that, but I've replaced it with ice cream, so it hasn't really worked.
Oh, okay. Maybe you need to eat so much that you become lactose intolerant.
Okay.
Yeah, see how it goes.
That could work.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm back. I'll probably give up drinking in January again. Then we'll see how that goes.
Well, good luck with that, eh?
Thank you. What else can I talk to you about? There's a lot of stuff in there. The moment you've been working in warm up for TV, that's why you're in Elstree. But you've done that for quite a lot of shows. It's quite a difficult job. But the one I was most interested in you talking about was being the warm up for Countdown.
Oh my God.
Which I imagine is quite a difficult job and quite an interesting job.
I don't want to be rude about it.
No, don't be rude about it because they might employ you again.
Well, don't want to be rude about Countdown because it's a cult, isn't it?
And I love the show.
And it's amazing. And you first go in the studio and you're like, oh my God, it's the thingy, it's the board and the... And then there's like men behind it winding the conundrum round and, and like you don't realise that it's actually still the same set that they just turn round.
Oh, wow.
And I've stolen a few of the letters. They're in my house now.
You've probably ruined the game because of that.
I have.
Going, why aren't there any eight E's in here? Someone's taken all the E's out.
Where's the C and the U and the N and the T? Where have they gone? But it's an interesting job because with warm-up, you'll have witnessed it yourself. I don't think you've ever lowered yourself to do the warm-up.
I haven't ever done it. I would have done it, but I never was off.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it now, I have to say.
No, it's
a hard job.
It is. It's really hard. But with Countdown, the audience have been going for about 25 years. And that's not a joke. They all have their allocated seats where they sit. They book a hotel for each block. They bring their bag of snacks. They've got their pads. And they've been there since the Richard Whiteley years. And there's most of the audience are made up of previous contestants. And so I can't normally do my warm-up stuff and talk about tits and fannies and eating knobs and calamari chili balls or whatever. So I just have to... it's like social services. You kind of just have to chat to them. Oh, how are you doing? And then as they come in, I think, oh, blimey, she's still alive. And then it's fascinating. But for me, who can't even add two and two, and all I ever do is out of the letters, I try to make up rude words.
Yeah.
I just say, I'm sitting in this audience with very intelligent people. What the fuck am I doing here?
If they were that intelligent, they wouldn't spend all their time sitting in the audience of Countdown, would they? They're not that intelligent.
They're a very special and unique crowd.
They are. And I'm very much one of those type of people, so I'm allowed to say it. I would very happily go and sit in the audience of Countdown. And
well, if we're allowed back, you can come with me and I'll even steal you a mug. How's
okay, that's
that?
Very good. That would be lovely. That would be very good. You do like stealing stuff. Again, I don't know how much of your stand-up is reality, but you've had a lot of temp jobs and you've been in trouble for stealing from... Well, you got away with stealing a lot of stuff, which I think everyone does to an extent.
Yep.
But is it true you were sacked for stealing large items that were too large, or were you exaggerating for comedic effect?
Okay, so I've had a lot of temping jobs and I have just admitted to stealing letters from Countdown. So that's I used to work at the BBC.
Yeah.
Before I left one of my roles at the BBC, I ordered myself £280 worth of stationery and had it sent to my house. Because I figured I'd paid for it because I pay my license fee.
Yeah, that's true. So we can all do that then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what else have I stolen? I used to work at HarperCollins and I used to send myself all of the books because, you know, just going to the post room. I just post myself some books. What else have I stolen?
And then you sold the books or gave them away. What do? Do you sell the books for profit?
No, I kept the books and pretended that I was well read.
Okay.
and then I move house quite a lot because I'm restless.
Okay.
So and you can't really chuck the books, keep moving books around. So I gave a lot of books to charity.
Oh, that's okay. That's nice.
That I'd stolen.
Yeah.
and some of them had got original signatures in, which I sort of regret afterwards, but you know, what's a signed book in a charity shop between thieves? What else have I stolen? I've stolen the thing is, you see, when I get drunk, I steal makeup from other women.
Okay.
Which has led to many, 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 many awkward moments.
Okay.
Yeah.
What, you like borrow it or you literally pocket
I just it. Literally I just see it, like there was one incident in a Hotel de Van in Brighton, and I can't give you all of the details for that because it's horrific, but needless to say the woman's husband saw me steal her lipstick and he got his calamari out. Yeah, I just decide that, oh, that's a really nice colour. I love that. And I don't, I've never stolen from a shop or anything. I just decided.
You should try it. I've stolen from shops. It's great fun.
Oh, really? What have you stolen?
Yeah, I used to steal a lot. In my 20s, I shoplifted quite a lot of things that sometimes I stole a hairdryer. Didn't really ever use a hairdryer. Just thought it was interesting to see if I could do it. I stole a lot of deodorant and printer tech. Some things were for work. So I used to steal printer ribbons because I couldn't afford them. But I just quite got into the thing. We had a routine about stealing Kinder eggs, but I think I generally used to steal Kinder eggs just to see if it was the thrill of getting. I've never been caught. And there's no way the Rozzers can nab me because I'm too clever.
The Rozzers.
I'm like Jack the Ripper. I confess to my crimes, but how will they find out that I've done them? They'll never know. Well, and still to this day, I still take pick and mix from. I take one pick and mix from every pick and mix I go by. And if I'm getting very bad service or something, I feel something's very overly expensive. I will sometimes. It's a risk, isn't it? Because you know, that's your life down the toilet if you get caught.
Yeah. So you've stolen pick and mix that other people and small children have probably fingered.
Yeah, that's okay.
Not bothered about
that's
that.
That's what I like about it.
I used to work in a garden centre, and I was highly allergic to food colourings and food additives when I was younger. And there was one incident when I worked at Jardinerie Garden Centre, Studley Green, Buckinghamshire. Thank nice. You. And I stole a lot of the pick and mix, and I came up on some cola cubes and laughed at a woman that was paying for her John Innes number 3. That's soil. And because she had blue hair, which, you know, the irony of that now is.
Yeah.
Anyway. And my manager and my friend. I had to lift me by the elbows and lock me in the staff room because, while I came down. And it was...
Wow.
Yeah, that was that's a great
quite extreme.
Day.
I guess pick and mix, you know, it's one of the victims of COVID, isn't it? It's one of the many... And audience warm-up. We're both struggling. So pick and mix thieves, they're struggling. Where they're going to get their sweets. And pick and mix sellers, can't sell those anymore. That's no good.
No. But you make that comment about the warm-up. But today, Richard, as I mentioned to you before we went live with this, I was warming up a studio with no audience. So for a Gordon Ramsay new quiz show.
Yeah.
And I was there specifically to entertain the crew. And as we know, the crew don't give a shit, do they? The crew would rather you weren't there. The crew would rather you just shut up and let's get on with the job.
And it's getting sort of, if you're employed to, you know, entertain your co-workers, sort of getting a bit close to being, you know, I don't want to say strippogram because it's not quite strippogram, but it nearly is.
Yeah.
It's sort of the ones who come and do jokes and songs for people.
Yeah. It's mucky, isn't it?
It's like slightly humiliating because it's being paid by... Do you want to come to the office and we'll pay you to just mess around, tell some jokes?
Yeah. It's a bit, you are a bit like an escort, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you're just sort of sucking a bag of dicks, but not in a literal term, because that would be horrific. But yeah, so that was weird. And then they said, would you like to come back? No. No, thanks. And I'm as soon as we finish here.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, Mankey Curtains. Bye-bye, Hotel Ibis. I'm fucking off.
Fair enough.
No, I don't need that. I do need the money, Richard, but I don't need it that much. So,
well, you get paid for doing this, Lou. I didn't tell you that, I don't think.
Oh,
Yeah, you're going to get some money
for
this.
Oh, goodness me. Well, I mean, a few more bags of dicks then.
It's not loads, but, you know, it's better than a kick in the teeth.
Oh, it really is. Oh, happy days. Yeah, thank you. That's good, but do you know, I'll take that death card back. I'll take it back and I'll find you a better one. There we go.
I don't think that's how tarot cards work. You can't just choose the ones you want to give me.
Yeah, I can't. Oh, there you go. There's one for you. You're the star.
There we go. That's more like it.
Yeah.
Right, look, what else? I'm going to ask you some emergency questions. I'll ask you some Christmas emergency questions.
Yep.
Because it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Let's see what I've got. When do you imagine was the last time that Santa had sex? With who or what? do you think he could get it up after all the booze? What a rude, impertinent question. Do you think Santa's had sex recently?
Yes. I can tell you when that was.
Okay.
Because when I was about 4 or 5, I walked in on Santa having sex with my mum. So I don't know whether that was the last time he had sex,
yeah,
but no child needs to witness that, do they? After you've been woken up while Santa's just put the present. I don't know about you, but we used to have presents on the end of our bed on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And Santa very kindly bought those presents, which actually was a Bunty annual. Thank you. Okay. Nicholas was Blue Peter, Nicholas, my sister. And then I was sort of wandered off thinking, oh, where's Santa gone? Wandered into my mum and dad's bedroom and witnessed Santa giving my mother a good seeing to. Emptying his sacks all over the place, Richard.
Wow.
And no child needs to see that. Thank
well,
you.
You know, I agree you shouldn't have seen it. And I don't think Santa wants you to see it. But I think that's got to be one of the perks of the job. With consenting mums, you're going into a lot of houses. Every now and again, there's going to be a mum who wants a little
bit
of that.
Probably.
I don't, I think he's got a. He puts a lot of work in.
This was
the old days when that was allowed on in the workplace. It wouldn't be allowed now, but in those days, in the workplace.
Yeah, I'd just like to think that as he went round, there was just women laying on beds, just eating mince pies and letting him get on with it and pulling their nighty down when they'd finished. I just sort of, you know, it's that kind of 1970s, oh, I'll just eat this, you get on with that and off you go.
I find it, assuming it was your dad, I don't want to break the magical illusion, still quite charming, but that was enough to get your mum going.
Oh, anything would have. Yeah.
That's
the
nice.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree, Richard. I've got my passion from somewhere.
It's a beautiful story.
Thank you.
Good. I'm interested. I don't enjoy New Year's Eve, so I'll ask you this. Do you actually enjoy New Year's Eve? Isn't it just too close to Christmas? Would you prefer to put the new... It'd be better if New Year happened in July, I think, just to space them out a bit.
Yeah, I've never really been that bothered about New Year's Eve. It's a... thing for me. Sometimes I have been known to try to go to bed early.
Yes, so it's just over and done with.
Yeah.
Do you ever do gigs on New Year's Eve?
Yes, I have done.
Yeah. It's quite hard gigging in December at all, right? I sort of stopped gigging in December if I could help it.
Yeah.
I'm doing one tomorrow, I have to say.
Well,
I'm doing a charity gig tomorrow, but so it should be okay, hopefully. But
you see, there, even though it's charity, because they go, oh, it's charity. They are even worse. They're more arseholes. Oh, we're worthy. It's for charity. Is it? Are you worthy? Or are you just a bunch of cock ends? Calamari, I'll call them now. No, yeah. New Year's, I've worked at New Year's. Quite a nice evening.
Yeah.
People are worn out. They just, you know, they've got away from their in-laws or their parents. And they just think, oh, God, I can breathe and have a bit of a giggle. And that's it, isn't it?
That's good. And you get paid well, right, for those gigs, usually, when they're able to happen.
Yeah.
What was it that, because obviously you started out as an actor, and what was it that made you make the move over into attempting stand-up and then becoming a stand-up?
Well, what it was, I had written a little sitcom-y thing with a friend, and I moved up to Manchester from the old Buckinghamshire to move in with her. So because we got, it sort of got picked up by somebody. So we were like, all right. So I moved up to move in with her to write this sitcom-y thing. And it got so far. And then there was, I don't know whether it's still there, but in Manchester, there was a club called the Circle Club, which was sort of an actory wanker's joint. And while we were there, Becky, the woman I was writing this thing with, decided to tell me she didn't want to do it anymore and that she was going to move to Brighton.
Right.
And while she told me that, this stand-up comedy night sort of evolved around me. And I took that as a sign to knock the acting and the writing on the head and just do stand-up comedy. And I stayed and watched it and I thought, that's fucking awful, I can do better than that. And that's kind of how it started, really.
Right.
So,
because it's—I mean, I suppose the autonomy of stand-up is appealing, right? If you've got that desire to perform, it is. A lot of actors sort of feel they couldn't. I mean, the actors, when I act in something, the actors go, "Oh, I could never do stand-up. It's too much." Whereas they're able to do acting, which is sort of the same thing, and you know, I guess you've got the script given to you and everything. But you as a stand-up, you have that autonomy to make your own work, and you can always work. Whereas if you're an actor, you're at the behest of other people, I suppose, a bit more.
Yeah, and when you're an actor, you're a wanker, aren't you? When I was at drama school, it was just like, oh, God, what's my motivation? I'll tell you what your motivation is. Paying your rent, that's your motivation, isn't it? Surely that's what it is. I couldn't take it seriously, and that was part of the problem for me at drama school. It sucked out my love of dressing up and performing.
Sure.
Yeah. Then doing comedy was like, oh, I can just be a twat whenever I want, really, can't I?
I think acting's a really interesting. I think really good actors, you do see the difference between a really good actor and someone who's, you know, like me, who isn't all that good but can get away with it. But also, like, I think actors are often not that interesting because there's a lot of sitting around. There's a lot of, you know, it's sort of quite a boring job, and you've got to be able to cope with that sort of boredom. And unless you're the main part in everything, you're sitting around for most of the day doing nothing. So that's pretty boring. So I think like if you've got the personality and the, you know, the ability to create your own stuff, I think it's gonna sometimes feel a little bit limited, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the drama school that I went to was the Oxford School of Speech and Drama.
Okay.
And when I went there, it was just a barn in a field, and all you had to do was lay on the floor and blow other people's pubes out of the way. That was basically it. And then I think it was based on Stanislavski, and this is how bad it was. The week that we did the method, I fucked off on a booze cruise to Brittany. And so I missed all the lessons on how to find your motivation.
Okay, well, that's probably what went wrong. Although you could have said I was playing an alcoholic character, and that, so I had to go on the booze cruise in order to find the truth of them.
Well, I'll tell you how they made us find our truth. That they made us do a play called Playing for Time by Arthur Miller, which was set in Auschwitz. So that was fun.
Okay. And is it true, again, this is from your stand-up show, which is available on Next Up Comedy. I watched it today. Next Up Comedy is...
Oh, you poor thing. Why did you do that?
Because I research my
guests. Oh, you.
There's only one of your shows there. I have a proper look. I've looked at lots of your stuff, and it's very funny, and it's a very interesting show, and there's...
Darren, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. But there's preconception. Oh, why is she being so mean about this guy? And then, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but you learn something. There's a learning process, but it's an interesting process. But you talk about doing, I think this is in this show, you talk about being in the worst show of the Fringe. Was that true?
Yeah.
That was an acting job. That was the thing that made you give up acting, you claim.
Yeah, that was the... That was just the icing on the cake regards to what the fuck am I doing. It was called Chaucer in the Sky with Diamonds, and I played a paedophile fisherman.
Yeah, I usually get those parts, so I'm annoyed that you got one of my parts.
Sorry. and what did I... Yeah, and it was just awful, but it's Edinburgh, and it was back in the day when Edinburgh was brilliant.
Yeah.
And it was just... You just went because you knew you were going to get twat-faced every day, and you were going to just get up to no good and just have a brilliant time. And then you might have done a bit of work, you know. and then we just got this review we were nominated by The Observer as the worst show on the Fringe.
That's just mean, and it can't possibly be true. They haven't.
Oh, it was true. It was fucking horrific.
I can't get past the title. And what it doesn't really work as a pun.
No, the guy that wrote...
Was it Chaucer on LSD or was it...
Yeah, it was set in a train station.
Okay.
And Chaucer's stories came by in different trains.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
That's not... That should be Chaucer on some trains coming through a train station.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the quote from the... review was something, I can't remember it. What was it like? Something like, whatever Terry Waite felt when he was released from captivity was nothing like the rush of exultation we felt when we left this interminable crud.
Ah, but you know, it's part of what Edinburgh is about, is heavy-handed poorly conceived. I mean, I've written 4 or 5 plays for Edinburgh, and they've not all been fantastic. They've been pretty good. But you know, I've definitely seen some productions from people who've gone on to be successful writers that you kind of go, even at the time, you're going, this is...
Yeah.
There was a production I went to see because I fancied one of the actors in it. And,
well, of course you did, because you're led by your calamari, Richard. You are.
And it was a very heavy-handed and, I would say, offensive portrayal of rape.
But
got a snog out of it, so it was worth it. It was worth it in the end. She was nice.
Was it Julia Swalia?
It wasn't Julia in that case. No.
She was in a bad place, were you about to say?
No, I went out with actresses quite a lot. And then it wasn't quite Julia, but within a couple of actresses after Julia, I decided not to go out with actresses anymore.
Yeah.
More or less stuck to it.
It's like the when actress- you say... I'm never going to go out with a comedian again. And then their balls are deep and you go, oh, fuck. Why have I done this?
Yeah. It is like that. And Tinker. And I'm never going back to Tinker from Lovejoy again.
He always gets me back.
Even when he's dead, he always gets me back in there. it's always fun. Look, I'm going to ask you a couple of regular emergency questions, then we'll see where we're at. And I don't want, because I know you're going to drive home, I don't want to keep you too long. But I'm having a lot of fun.
This
has flown by. We've nearly done it. Who is the most inappropriate? Sorry, they come up as sex all the time. I don't know why that's happening. It must be the tarot. It's like tarot.
It's the ghost.
Is who is the most inappropriate person you've ever had a sex dream about? Mine is TV's Emma Kennedy. I had a sex dream with Emma Kennedy, but even in the imaginary dreamscape we were in, I really remembered it. We were like on a bunk bed, climbing around on a bunk bed together, but I was totally unable to get a direction. It was like putting a marshmallow in a letterbox, even in the dream. So even my dreamscape, I couldn't like overcome the natural revulsion I feel for that woman.
But you've been friends with Emma for like a million years.
We have. We've been together.
So... Yeah, my inappropriate sex dream, and this is horrific, and while you were telling your story there, I was thinking, I don't know whether I can say or tell you that it was my granddad, but and he was in a bar, and it's, you know, it's those dreams where you're like, oh, I don't know whether that was actually real or whether that actually happened, so there was that one.
Yeah. But those kind of things happen, you know, and I've read books about this. And also, I was listening to a book about Pliny, and there was something about having sex with family members in that and what it meant if you had sex with your mum in a dream. But I think you're under no control of what you're doing in dreams, and it's not about what you think it's about.
No.
So, you know, as disgusting as having sex with Emma Kennedy is, and it's morally repugnant, I do feel it wasn't. And you should feel the same. It wasn't something that
you would rather have banged your granddad than bang him.
I wouldn't have minded.
I had a dream once where and my mum was studying dreams at the time. Of course she was.
Yeah.
I had a dream that I was chatting to my mum, and a black stallion trotted up behind my mum and stood on its back legs and spunked all over her. And like literally sprayed her from head to foot, and she didn't move, and she just moved it. She just flapped it out of her hair, but carried on talking.
Very like with Father Christmas, right?
Yeah, very. Oh my God. Do you know, you're unlocking a lot of things
for me tonight.
I told my mum about the dream, and she said, oh, well, write it down and I'll send it to my friend who's a dream expert. And I did. And this, it took a couple of months to get a response from the man. And he more or less sort of said I should be committed. So he's not wrong, probably.
That's not a good dream. Dreams are fucking insane. You're allowed to dream anything. Well, you're not, you know, you have no control of what you dream.
No.
But, you know, if you really, really went into all your dreams, there's horrific. I mean, I think you forget most of it.
Yeah.
There's horrific stuff in there, and it's just your brain trying to get stuff out. I'm going to do one of my cards to you, see if you can guess the crime. If you, you can ask yes or no questions.
I'm rubbish at this sort of thing, but let's go.
Let's see if I can get it straight away and whether you can get it straight away. Some of them are horrible. I just think it's called Dark Stories. Keeping up appearances is that this is the clue. Oh, I don't want to show you the back. That's the picture that's the clue. It's a man on an arm walking along an arm. The men were only following orders and made themselves the laughing stock of the country. Can't think what that is. Well, you won't get this.
I won't. You're right.
No, fuck that.
What was it?
It was some weird story. Oh. Let's see if this is a famous one. I'll try and find a famous one. This isn't good. This isn't good podcasting.
Oh. Do you want me to sing at this bit?
Yeah.
La, 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 la,
okay, this one. This is a good one. This is a very bad. You won't get it, but you can ask me questions. The dream is over. The picture is like a no turning sign, but could be like
that's had their knob chopped off.
It could be a bitten off penis. A great man was pleased that he was so loved. A second later, he turned a corner and was dead. This is very famous. This is a very famous crime, but I don't think that's a good clue for it at all.
Oh, he turned a corner.
Yeah.
Oh, is somebody
it's not even really true either? It's not really true, and I don't know what the pleased he was loved bit was about. Let me have a look. Oh, it was expressed delight at the enthusiasm that the public displayed. His last words were how happy he was that the public loved him. He was in Dallas, Texas. He was near a book depository.
JR. He was in Dallas.
Good. I'm going to give you that.
Thank you.
What have you got coming up in 2021, presuming that 2021 is going to happen in any shape or form?
Well, thank you for asking me that question, Richard, because I am doing a podcast myself with the wonderful Sally Ann Hayward.
Oh,
and
great.
It's called Spit or Swallow. And it's about wine tasting or drinky poos.
Okay.
And so we've had some brilliant guests so far. And what we do is we invite the guests to tell us what their favourite tipple is.
Good idea.
And then Sally and I will go out and buy that tipple.
Great.
And then we decide by the end of it whether we will spit it or swallow it.
Very nice.
Sally's really, she's very dedicated to the podcast, and I just got shitted. So I don't really remember many of the recordings.
I think that's for, you know, that's, well, have living with someone who also does a drink-based podcast, it is, and, you know, you sort of, I think when you get drunk, and I get drunk on this sometimes, a little bit drunk, and you kind of worry about it, but it's so much fun, I think, listening to people when they're drunk. You know, especially if they're not they're not in the house. And you can escape and turn it off. It's really good fun. So that sounds excellent. Is that started? I haven't seen that.
We have recorded 7 of them, and we are releasing them for Dry January.
Great. Well, that's a good call.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, look out for that. Yes. And do you have New Year's resolutions?
Fuck.
I gave up chocolate 2 years ago, and I've stopped eating chocolate. It's worked.
Yeah, but you started eating ice cream instead.
Well, not instead. I always ate a bit of ice cream.
Okay, well done you for sticking to something. I'm absolutely not sticking to anything. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Look, it's been absolutely fantastic to have you on. And you must come round to my house. We'll do a live recording of you looking for ghosts in my house, and we'll put it out.
Yes.
Special, but you must come round and have a drink with.
Oh, I bloody anyway. Well will. I'm going to Yvette Fielding's house on Thursday.
Amazing.
To do some ghosty shit. Good. So I'll bloody well let you know how that goes.
Good. Ladies and gentlemen, next week, Alexi Sale is going to be the guest. That's fantastic. We've got Catherine Bohart coming up, and Nina Conti's coming up. So lots of fantastic guests. Do check out Twitch of Fun, usually recorded on Thursday nights on this Twitch channel, RK Herring on Twitch. But for now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for my amazing guest, Lou Conran. Thank you very much. See you next time, everyone. Goodbye. You have been listening to Rahalastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Lou Conran.
Thank you to Pest for providing this music. Thank you to Chris Evans, not that one who I am indebted to, for all the work he's put into this year. Everyone at Sky Potato, everyone at GoFasterStrike.com, everyone at Acast, everyone at The British Comedy Guide, everyone at iTunes. You know who you are, guys. Thank you very much for your help, especially Mark at The British Comedy Guide and Aaron as well, who've been putting up this and my other podcasts through the year. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and Go Faster Stripe production. Head to GoFasterStripe.com/badges to become a monthly badger. All your money will go back to making more content, and you get loads of extra interviews and a membership card, secret code, all sorts of stuff, stand-up shows. It never ends. Extra videos. It's wonderful. And it's £3 if you want, £5 if you want, £10 if you want, whatever you want per month. And you get entered into monthly draws. There's a big one coming up at Christmas. Sorry, New Year. End of year draw plus 9 other copies of Pooh Man cards to win for members. So do get involved with that if you can. All right, my fan friends. Have a great 2021 or whatever year you're listening to this. 2140, probably some of you listen to this in. Have a great 2140. What's it like in the future, my fine friends? Is it nice? Oh, the earth is a desolate desert. Oh, sorry about that. That was part of my fault. Bye!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks very much for listening to the podcast. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for fantastic downloads and books, and to join the Go Faster Stripe Club and get loads of stuff from really interesting comedians. Help little Chris Evans knock that one out. That would be lovely. All right, RichardHerring.com for all my gigs. Hope to see you at a gig. Come and say hi after if you've enjoyed these podcasts. Don't come if you haven't enjoyed them and say you haven't enjoyed them. It'll make me feel sad.